Chapter 19. Despite all the negative waves from Skippy acting like a Debbie Downer, I was still optimistic when we jumped back to Earth with the test results. UNEF Command made a big media push to promote the success of the test, and tensions around the globe ratcheted down a notch or two, at least for a while. And then, of course, there was a complication.
Uh-oh, Joe.
Skippy's avatar appeared as I was in my cabin changing clothes for the gym.
We got trouble.
I knew the trouble could not be an enemy ship because the battle station's alarm would have sounded and the duty officer would have ordered an immediate jump. Instead of guessing, I took a breath to prepare myself for bad news.
What kind of trouble?
I have been monitoring the discussions among UNEF member states like you asked me to, even though you also told me that gossip is a bad thing and that I should respect people's privacy. And yes, I am a terrible hypocrite, so sue me. This is different, you jackass. All I'm asking for is a heads up on security issues that could affect us.
Hm,
he sniffed, unconvinced. Anywho, apparently UNEF Command has been visited by the Good Idea Fairy.
Oh, shit, no. Please, no. It's even worse than you can imagine, Joe, he groaned.
To give the kitties extra incentive to come to the negotiating table, Command wants us to temporarily crash a wormhole network in their territory.
Oh, I suddenly felt cold. They are going to fuck up everything.
You knew there was a risk this would happen.
Crap. I was concerned the freaking bad guys would call our bluff, not that our own team would score a goal for the enemy. Damn it!
What are we going to do, Joe?
I don't know.
Is this proposal still in the good idea phase, or is Command writing up orders for me?
It's past the good idea phase. You know how it is. Some UN staffer trying for the Employee of the Month award presents a proposal to their boss who likes it and mentions it to a colleague over drinks before anyone else can float the idea and claim the credit. The kind of thing that snowballs from there. Once an idea like this acquires momentum, it's nearly impossible to stop.
Shit. Is Chotek involved?
Not directly.
He knows about it. He was at the dinner where the concept was discussed.
Ping him, please, if he's able to talk.
He is currently in a hotel elevator.
Alone?
Yes, why?
Oh,
I get what you mean.
Gosh darn it, whoever is responsible for elevator maintenance in that hotel is shamefully negligent.
I feel just terrible about that. Connect me, please.
You're on.
Hello, Hans?
Joe?
He sighed.
I should have known Skippy was involved when the elevator stopped.
Yeah, sorry about that. Listen, I need to talk with you one-on-one. It's important. Do you have time?
I am currently stuck in an elevator, so...
Good point.
Okay, hey, this idea of crashing a wormhole network is a demonstration. It's a very bad, like, awful, no good idea.
Why?
He sounded completely baffled.
It would only be a temporary demonstration to bring the Max Hawks to the table and give us a stronger negotiating position.
It won't work, that's why. We can't do it. Skippy can't do it.
There was a pause before he replied.
There was no mention of any such restrictions in your report.
Why? We didn't include it in the after-action report because we don't want the bad guys to know the details. I don't have a lot of confidence in the UN's ComSec, you know?
You had better explain this, please.
Okay. I took another breath.
Joe Bishop used to be an honest guy. A guy you could trust.
I miss that guy.
Somewhere along the way, I became a lying sack of shit. Worse, I found it easy to lie. Even worse, I discovered I am good at it. You know what all good liars have in common? We have a reasonable, believable explanation for everything. Our bluff of crashing wormhole networks was no different. I had worked out an explanation for why Skippy couldn't just treat wormhole networks like a freaking light switch.
We surprised the networks when we crashed them for the demonstration, I explained.
They will adjust to prevent that particular event from happening again. Very likely already have adjusted by now.
He sucked in a breath, louder because he was in a confined space.
Skippy is locked out?
He can't do it again?
No.
I mean, yes, I winced, aware that English was a second language for Chotek.
Yes, he can do it again, but the next time he will have to use a different method, a backup. That backup can only be used once per local network. There is no temporary to this. Once he shuts down a network, it is off, permanently. Not really off, I added, because nerds at the UN would question how the wormholes could continue feeding power into higher dimensions if the network was disabled. Skippy says the event horizons will be collapsed into a state where ships can't pass through. Not even light could go through. As far as anyone in this space-time is concerned, that network will be gone, understand? I do. This is new information, Joseph, he said in a tone of mild disapproval. This is top secret shit, Hans. Listen, it is an extremely bad idea to let the enemy know the scope of your capabilities, and like I said, we can't trust communication security at the UN. Too many people are involved. We can, Skippy can, crash networks just like we said, with a couple of exceptions. Shutting down wormhole networks is like a nuclear option. We can select a limited set of targets, but those targets are gone after we strike. Will the overall network learn? He asked. And lock Skippy out eventually? Probably not, I lied. We had thought of that too. Skippy will be exploiting a vulnerability the networks don't know is there, I lied again. Once he instructs a network to shut down, it won't be able to communicate what happened. Once per local network, one time. Hans, it is vital that UNEF does not request a demonstration, okay? We don't want to explain why we can't do it. Can you do something to squash this quietly? What if the Maxolks or the Rindaloo refuse your terms and the deadline passes? Then damn it. I gave an Oscar-worthy performance, hoping he didn't sense I was lying. We will crash a network in each of their territories. That might only provoke them, makes them more determined not to comply, he warned. Ah, we can select an unimportant local network to crash, like make our point, but not really hurt anyone. It's a big galaxy. There are plenty of local networks that don't connect to any place important. Let's worry about that later, okay? Joe, I will do what I can. Thanks. After I get out of this elevator? He hinted. Oh, yeah, Skippy, can you fix the elevator? Yes, but really, I should report this glitch. Could be a safety issue. You do that, I laughed. Hans, thanks. I hope the next time we talk it's about a happier subject. We talk about unhappy things so others don't have to. Right. Squashing the idea of another wormhole network crashing demonstration took some late-night discussions by Count Chocula with senior UN officials, and I did have to answer some uncomfortable questions. What finally killed the idea was Skippy stating that he was not going to perform any stupid party tricks for the United Nations. We reached a sort of compromise. The UN would shelve the idea unless the four-month deadline passed and neither of the senior species had at least entered into negotiations with us. Speaking of negotiations, we moved on to the next step. The UN was eager to jumpstart talks with potential allies and strengthen our position for negotiations with the senior species. That idea had my full support. I wanted to get away from Earth before the good idea ferry struck again. Valkyrie took aboard a UN negotiation team, including Hans Chotek, while every spare space aboard the battleship got crammed with supplies and additional crew members to staff our new battlecruisers. With a regular crew of 70 plus 160 passengers, Valkyrie was crowded. After a safety briefing for the new people, basically telling them not to touch anything, we jumped away for Fob Jaguar. Skippy and I were again aboard the captured battleship with the frozen kitties, where I had to listen to Skippy's constant bitching about how difficult it was for him to keep the rust bucket running. I listened, so our crew and passengers didn't have to. Was I a bit discouraged when we pinged a relay station along the way, then another, and there was still no message from either of the senior species? I'm not going to lie. It sure would have been nice to hear them both agree to my terms and apologize for causing so much trouble. I wasn't counting on that, but it sure would have been nice. It would have been nice just to hear they were preparing for negotiations, because if they didn't, I was screwed. There was an irritating delay while Valkyrie ran an errand, jumping into a Bosphorok star system to drop off Dick and Morty in an escape pod. We left a message at several relay stations about the kitties who were still frozen, offering to hand them over when the Maxolks met us for negotiations. We were kinda hoping the prospect of recovering the survivors of their lost task force would be enticing to the kiddies. Maybe we were wrong about that. The Maxalts might consider the survivors to be cowards for having failed to kill themselves, even though they were asleep. Or maybe the kiddies didn't enjoy being reminded of another failure where humans gave them a beatdown. All I know is, we couldn't hang on to a bunch of frozen catsicles forever, so they had to go somewhere. Joe, Chotek called while our two ships were hanging out in deep space between nameless stars, recharging jump drives. There's something I need to discuss with you. Sure. I paused the combat simulation on my laptop and enlarged the window with the video link. What's up? This is a topic that is best covered in person. Right, I grinned. It doesn't have anything to do with you wanting to get away from your colleagues on Valkyrie? Space aboard the battleship was tight, because with the life support systems of that rust bucket not in great condition, the crew was squeezed into a small section of the pressure hull. But Valkyrie was absolutely jam-packed with filthy monkeys, and they had to be annoying each other by that point in the flight. I didn't say that. Gotcha. Dinner tonight is tacos, I said as a subtle warning. Because I'm Austrian, he blinked in mock surprise. I can't enjoy tacos? For a moment I had a mental image of him sitting at a table set with fine china eating tacos with a knife and fork. No, what I meant is, I am screwing with you, he laughed. Man, our relationship had changed a lot if he felt comfortable screwing with me. Changed for the better. Okay then. You do like sauerkraut on your tacos? Now I know you're screwing with me. We both had a good laugh. I glanced at the countdown clock in one corner of my laptop. It showed less than 17 minutes until both of our ships performed the next jump. Arrange a shuttle flight for you during our next recharge period. Chotek came aboard, along with 14 other people who were eager for a change of scenery. Or maybe they just wanted tacos. That's a totally valid reason. Hans, I greeted him outside the docking bay. We shook hands because Hans Chotek is not a hugging type of guy, which is fine with me. The early serving for dinner wasn't for another 4 hours, and he didn't want a snack from the galley, so I ordered coffee brought to my office. Unlike aboard Valkyrie, my temporary office aboard the battleship had not been modified in any way for humans. The chairs were too tall and broad, and everything had a faintly musky smell that hovered at the edge of your awareness and could be kind of distracting. What did you want to talk about? I asked after we each poured coffee into our mugs. He glanced toward the open door, and I reached under the desk to press a button to slide the door closed. The button's surface was slightly sticky, a reminder of the previous inhabitant. It always creeped me out to feel something stuck to my finger after touching that button, so I wiped my finger on my pants. If you want to know why I didn't scrub that button clean, I tried to, but whatever nasty skin oils the Maxalts left behind were very persistent. Why didn't I just have a new button fabricated? That was easy. It wasn't worth the effort. The battleship was destined to be recycled for parts to keep our Navy flying. We didn't want to waste time and resources on fixing it up during the relatively short flight. That is also why we never bothered to give it an official name. Most of the crew called it simply the battleship, although the brick was gaining popularity due to the ship's prosaic, blocky, rectangular shape. Ambassador Takahashi wants more information about the Maxalt's doomsday plan. Oh, but everything we know is in my report. He looked a bit disappointed. You don't know how far along they are in the project? No, sorry. Skippy? Ugh, his avatar appeared. Since coming aboard the brick, he had been extra irritable, partly because his escape pod man cave with all his Elvis memorabilia and other neat stuff was still aboard Valkyrie. The escape pods of our battle cruiser were incompatible with those of the battleship, so it got left behind. I offered to have his stuff transferred, but the thought of filthy monkey hands touching his most treasured possessions horrified him, so he had to suck it up until we arrived at Jaguar. What is it now? We are terribly sorry to bother you, your lordship. Have you gotten an update on the doomsday plan? The Ark ships the rotten kiddies are building? No, sorry. The limited info I do have I put together from sketchy reports. If you remember, I did suggest we take a sneak peek at the base where they are building the Ark ships, but that would be a crazy, stupid thing to do, I interrupted. And I'm kind of an expert on crazy, stupid things. It is way too risky. That's why I subcontracted the job to the Spiders.
Oh, yeah, Skippy scoffed. I'm sure the Rindaloo will get right on it. Gosh, within the next decade, they might even think about scheduling a meeting to discuss whether they need a meeting to talk about it. Bravo, Joe! Take a victory lap for being so incredibly proactive!
Why are you such an asshole? Why are you so useless most of the time?
Gentlemen, Chotek cut us off since someone had to be an adult. If we could focus on the subject, please.
Sorry. I could feel my face turning red. Big jerk, Skippy muttered under his breath.
What?
I jabbed a finger at his avatar.
Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Yes, Ambassador Chotek. He pretended to be professional while smirking at me. Please continue.
There is... Chotek waited to see if me and the beer can would begin bickering again.
No indication the Rindaloo have investigated the matter?
Not that I know of, Skippy shrugged. We could just, you know, ask them.
That would be difficult to do since they are not presently talking with us, Chotek said with dry humor.
Takahashi wants to revisit the prospect of revealing what we know about the Doomsday Plan, informing the galaxy, and in particular the Maxalk's public, that their leaders plan to destroy civilization while escaping with a small number of the elite.
Ah, I sighed, and Skippy shook his head in agreement. Han said revisit because the UN had talked about broadcasting the Doomsday Plan to the whole galaxy soon after I told them what we had discovered. The idea got shelved for the same reason I thought it should stay on the shelf, until we were ready.
The problem with telling everyone is we don't have solid evidence to show. We could get it, but, like I said, it's too risky. The star system where they are building Ark ships, if they're constructing them at all, must be heavily defended.
Hans, what's changed?
I thought the UN wants you to wait until you're in talks with the Maxalks, then tell them we know about their doomsday scheme. Shock value, that sort of thing.
Takahashi is looking for options to encourage the Maxalks to negotiate. Your deadline is approaching.
He looked away for a split second. Hans and pretty much everyone at UNEF Command or in the wider United Nations had not approved of me declaring a deadline without consulting them about it. It would have been better, they argued, to provide a flexible series of escalating steps instead of a one-time hard deadline and blah, blah, blah. They weren't there at the time. It's easy to second-guess the person who has their boots on the ground or boots on the deck of the ship. You know what I mean. It would not have been good for me to give the enemy an ultimatum, then say I had to check with my leadership about what that ultimatum should be. Most of the galaxy already had trouble taking humans seriously. The general opinion of us was that we were primitive losers who got lucky. Maybe they have a point.
Hans looked back to me.
Neither of the senior species have made any attempt to contact us about setting up talks. Takahashi is growing nervous that the deadline will pass without any response.
Joe, I am anxious about it also.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, there's plenty of time left. Neither the kiddies nor spiders have an incentive to begin talks before the deadline. Probably neither of them wants to be the first to admit they have to talk with us, right?
I don't think, I grinned. The Maxalks are ready to blow up the galaxy anytime soon.
Anyway, we arrived at Jaguar the morning before Christmas Eve, and I received a very nice present. I'd become an uncle while I was away. My sister had a baby girl, and despite Skippy's best efforts to ruin the holiday with his Grinch-worthy lack of Christmas cheer, I was determined to have a very nice Christmas day. Stepping off the dropship at Club Skippy, I slung my bag over a shoulder and waved off a soldier's offer to carry it for me. UNEF had wanted to assign an aide to follow me around, but I declined. Aboard Valkyrie, I didn't need any help, and my virtual assistant did pretty much everything I needed done, even if my virtual assistant was a beer can. A bus was waiting at the airfield, so I rode it to the intersection with the road that led to where my parents were living.
"Sure you don't want to ride, sir?"
the bus driver asked me.
"No." I picked up my bag and stepped to the ground.
I've been stuck inside a starship. A walk sounds good. It actually did. The walk wasn't exactly a 5-mile ruck in full battle rattle. My bag weighed only 30 pounds. Still, I was outside under a sunlit sky, breathing air that hadn't been recycled. It was also nice to walk a significant distance without a treadmill spinning under my feet. I could stop and smell the roses, or whatever the native flowers were called. Plenty of flowers were growing along the roadside where soil had been disturbed to cut and grade the dirt road. Also, I stopped at a stream to pour water through a filter into my canteen. Fresh water that had not been recycled from showers and sinks and other sources aboard the ship. The drinking water aboard Valkyrie was absolutely pure, so pure that trace minerals had to be added back into it. Shipboard water tasted fine. Water that originally fell as rain still tasted better. Damn it, I joined the army partly because I enjoyed the outdoor life. Hiking, camping, that sort of thing. Somehow, I now spent most of my time inside the composite hull of a starship, never seeing a sky above my head. I miss being a ground pounder. Hey, Skippy, I called. On my Z phone, I was trying to connect to one of the local networks. Yes, I could have just kept my phone hooked to the SkippyTel network, but I didn't want to be a diva. Too many officers I knew enjoyed their privileges and loved to flaunt them. I was the opposite. I'm not a ring knocker who went to a service academy. I'm a Mustang. I started as a grunt, and I'm damn proud of it. Give me a bag of MREs while sitting around a campfire with my people, rather than eating steaks off fine china in an officer's mess. Anyway, the communications people at Jaguar had gone through a lot of hard work setting up networks all over the area because the bases needed full comms when Skippy was away. Looking at the list of available unclassified networks, I could tell the 25 series techs had fun. The Wi-Fi networks had names like LAN of Milk and Honey, LAN Ho, and LAN of the Lost. Which of these Wi-Fis should I connect to? LAN of the Lost is best for the area near your folks' place. Okay, great, thanks. What's the password? Do you want me to do it for you? No, I want to handle it like a normal person would, please. Seriously, you can't guess the password? I have no idea. You are shamefully ignorant, Joe. I will give you the password in exchange for you agreeing to watch 2 hours of truly horrific mind-rotting TV with me. Can this 2 hours of TV replace karaoke night so I don't have to listen to you sing? Ugh, you are such a cretin. Fine. Deal. The password is Sleestack, with a capital S. No, capitalize the first S, you numbskull. Got it. Thanks. You're not going to ask what Sleestack means? That word sounded vaguely familiar, but playing dumb would make him go away faster. Do I want to know? Hey, I wish I didn't know. Then I'm good, thanks. I'm going to regret this deal, right?
Dude.
He did his best evil chuckle.
You have no idea.
The home my parents had at Club Skippy was nice, much better than the housing assigned to most of the civilian staff. Their good fortune was not due to any influence I had. They never asked me to pull strings for them, and I would have been uncomfortable asking the overworked supply people to find materials for them. My parents had gathered discarded or unwanted materials or scrounged stuff they needed by bartering or trading services. My father offered to weld anything that needed welding, and my mother helped people set up and maintain gardens. Plus, as usual, their own garden yielded way more fruit and vegetables than they could use, so they had plenty of fresh and canned food available for trade. Anyway, they had assembled a nice house from busted shipping containers and anything else they could find, so my sister and her husband were living in the unit originally assigned to my parents. Although my parents' address was at the edge of the settlement when they set it up, the town had since expanded, and my mother declared the place was getting too crowded already. They didn't want to move again, just have a place out in the countryside for weekend getaways. And they had a spot selected, by a pond 0.5 kilometer from the truck route between Club Skippy and one of the training sites. As a Christmas present for them, I decided to clear brush and trees near the pond for a campsite. A truck going out to the training site agreed to let me ride in the back, so in a rucksack I stuffed a chainsaw with extra power cells, a snack,
and other gear I needed. "Joe," Skippy called. "What are you doing? What does it look like?" "It looks like you're going to chop off a leg. Do you know how to use a chainsaw?" "Yes." "Come on, Skippy, I'm from the North Woods of Maine. Everybody there uses a chainsaw." "Not everyone there is a dum-dum like you," he sniffed. "I promise to be careful. Look, I have all the required gear. Gloves, goggles, a hard hat, shin guards, a beer."
"A beer?"
"You're right," I said as I got another can from the fridge. "I better bring a safety beer." He blinked slowly, then gawked at me, mouth open in disbelief.
"A safety beer?"
"Yeah, you know, in case I spill the first one." "You're doomed." "Joe, seriously, what is wrong with you?" "I'm a guy, Skippy. There's no cure for it. I might as well alert the base hospital right now." "Don't be an ass. I'm trying to do something nice for my parents."
"Did you get them anything for a Christmas gift?"
"Yes. I used the ship's fabricators to make a tent they can use for camping."
I didn't authorize that."
"There are plenty of raw materials aboard the battleship that aren't useful for sustaining starships. Plus, I had to test the fabricators. Some of them are worn out from making hibernation caskets. Don't worry, no one will know where the tent came from."
"That's not the point, but, thanks."
"You're welcome."
It was great to have shore leave at Club Skippy, even better because it was Christmas. The day after the holiday, I walked to the center of the growing town that everyone called Club Skippy. My visit was unofficial, and I was wearing civilian clothes, though everyone knew who I was and I had to stop several E5s from saluting me. Come on, all I wanted was to be a regular person for a couple hours. A regular person who heard a rumor that the public square at the center of Club Skippy had food trucks.
Food trucks.
I imagined things like Mexican street corn, fried dough, hot dogs, tacos, Philly cheesesteaks, more tacos. That morning, I'd gotten up early for a run, partly to enjoy running that wasn't on a treadmill, and partly so I wasn't there for my mother to give me a giant stack of pancakes. Don't get me wrong, I love pancakes, and my mom is a good cook. But I had a big stack of pancakes for breakfast on Christmas morning. The day after, I wanted to skip breakfast so I could stuff my face with whatever delicious junk food I could get from the food trucks. It was a bit disappointing, which I should have expected, really. Fob Jaguar is mostly a bare-bones military base with few resources available for niceties like a court for food trucks. Still, people are inventive and hungry, and the civilians who worked as contractors are an ambitious bunch. There was a big demand for food that didn't come from a military kitchen, and supply was arranged to meet that demand. The operators of the food trucks had scrounged empty shipping containers, cut them apart, and added electricity, plumbing, kitchens, refrigeration, everything a food truck needed, except these didn't have wheels. The first truck I saw had a line, so I couldn't see what kind of food they had. All I knew was something smelled delicious. Damn it! When I got to the front of the line, I read the sign above the window. It said, Kale Force. It was a salad bar. Not wanting to insult the entrepreneurial woman who ran the place, I got a small salad, like the smallest I could get. All was not lost, however, because when I walked away, I followed my nose to a taco truck. Tacos. In case anyone watching me planned to rat me out to Sims, I did eat the salad. I just ordered tacos, took them apart, and made a taco salad. Then I ate tacos, and a corn dog, French fries, and ice cream. But I had a salad. That counts for something.